As we prepare our hearts for worship this morning, hear these words from Psalm 62. For God alone, my soul waits in silence, for my hope is from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rest my deliverance and my honor. My mighty rock, my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Would you pray with me? Living God, the psalmist begins with these words, for God alone, my soul waits in silence. And so we take a silent moment at this beginning of our worship service to wait for you, O God. We know that you're already here, but sometimes it takes our spirits a little while to wake up to your presence among us. And so in this silent place, would you assure us of your nearness? Show us your presence. Prepare our hearts to meet you, O Lord. You, O God, are our mighty fortress. In a world that is shaky, you are the rock that will not be shaken. You are the strong deliverer. You are the one in whom our souls find hope and the one in whom we trust. And so we have come to this place to lift up your name together, O Lord, for you are worthy of our praise. You're worthy of every song that we sing. You're worthy of every gift that we bring. You are worthy of our very lives, O Lord. Thank you that in you we find salvation, in you we find life, in you we find peace. Would you overwhelm us with your presence this day? And would your heart be so very honored and blessed by what happens in this place among your people? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you will open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, we continue this morning in the series that we just started last Sunday on Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. This is Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. And so, living God, as we turn to your word, we do so because we are your children, and our hearts long to hear from our Father. We do so because, Jesus, we need you, the light, to give us light if we have any hope of being light. And so we're here placing ourselves before you, O Lord. Our hearts are as open as we know how to let them be. Our ears are open. Would your spirit move freely among us, helping us hear whatever it is you want us to hear, and so that you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be, and so you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. One of the first fights that Guy and I ever had, I made him my beloved grandpa's pancakes. He called them hotcakes, my grandpa did. This was the recipe that my grandpa had followed for decades. He had cooked it for me, I think, every single time I visited him as a child, as a teenager, as a young adult. He would go onto the griddle first and do a J with the pancake batter and then do the pancake over it. So my initials were in my pancakes. They were made with love. These my entire family, and I've got a big family. My mom's one of five kids. My entire family would agree these were the perfect pancakes. I made them for Guy one morning early on in our relationship, and he took a bite. I couldn't wait for the review. I'm looking at him. So, is that the best pancake you've ever had or what? It's good. Like, what do you mean? Why'd you say it like that? No, he said, no, it's good. It's like, clearly it's not good. Like, why are you saying it like that? Tell me how you could possibly not like my papa's pancakes. I could tell he was getting nervous. He's like, well, they just need a little bit of salt. And I was ticked. My beloved papa had made these pancakes for decades, and our entire family loved them. They were buttermilk pancakes. It's his very special recipe, and they were perfect just as they were. Until I tried the next batch with just a teaspoon of salt. And I hated it. Not the taste of the pancakes. I hated admitting that they were actually a little bit better with just a little bit of salt. My freshman year of college, I was in a dorm with a couple 118-year-old girls. And we all shared communal bathrooms on each hallway. And as 18-year-old girls do, we love to put pranks on one another. Our favorite prank, the easiest prank, was when you walked by the bathroom and you knew that one of your friends was in there. You'd open the door while they were showering, turn all the lights out, and just walk away. And it's all fun and games until you're the one in the shower and it's done to you. And you're feeling around trying to decipher shampoo from conditioner, from soap. The most basic task becomes completely disorienting with just a flick of the light switch. Jesus looks at his disciples and he says, y'all are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. He tells his people who they are and what they are for. You're salt and you're light. Nona sent me a reel this week talking about this new Bible that's come out, and it's called the Y'all Bible. And it's a real thing. And it's really an actual simple thing. Basically, it's just the Bible. But everywhere where the word you in the Bible is supposed to be plural, where our English language just says you for everything, the y'all Bible, where it's supposed to be plural, says y'all. It's helpful. I'm from the South. There is no better word for that than y'all. You will never convince me otherwise. And Jesus is talking to all of his disciples gathered around. And in these verses, he's saying, all y'all, Jesus saying, all y'all are salt and light. Not just courageous Peter, and not just beloved John, and not just passionate Simon, and not just inquisitive Thomas. All y'all who follow Jesus, who love him, are salt and light. Not just the religious leaders, not just our spiritual heroes, all y'all, salt and light. So if that's who we are, what does it mean to be salt? Salt does a number of things. One of those things it does is it cleanses wounds. It helps people to heal. Jesus' people walk around in a place that is jam-packed with some wounds. Are we not? We are surrounded by people who carry on their very beings all kinds of hurt. Hurt from families, hurt from spouses, hurt from church, hurt from strangers, hurt from war, hurt from words spoken against them, hurt from violent acts done to them. Everywhere around us all the time, people are hurting and they've got these open wounds that are in need of healing. We're the salt of the earth, all y'all. Christ in us. We're here to bind up some wounds. In the name of Jesus, to heal some pain. And you know as well as I do, unfortunately, the church isn't always viewed as the best place for hurting people to find healing. And Christians don't always have the reputation of being the gentlest, most compassionate folks around to those who have some wounds. In my family growing up, two of my relatives who are very, very close to me went through some stuff. One had an abortion, one committed adultery. And both of them felt this immense sense of pain from the shame that they carried from these things, but neither of them, and they were in the church every single Sunday, neither of them ever told any of the Christians in their lives what they had done and what they had walked through and of the shame that they carried, because they were convinced that if they told those people, it would only hurt more. And I remember, as I learned these stories in my young adult life, I remember feeling this great sense of sadness, this longing in my heart that the church would actually be a place where hurting people could be known and loved and healed and not have to hide their shame for fear of being judged. All y'all, the salt of the earth, when folks come into our midst, wounds should not be hidden but nurtured in this place. Jesus never shames the hurting. He sets a table for the downcast. He's salt on open wounds, a healing agent that makes a broken person whole again. All y'all, we are an healing agent too. Fred Craddock, a retired minister, tells a story about a time that he was eating at a restaurant in Tennessee. And he starts chatting with this man in the restaurant, and he comes to find out that this man is named Ben Hooper, and he had been a former governor of the state of Tennessee. And when Ben Hooper found out that Fred Craddock was a preacher, he began to tell him this story from his childhood. He said that he had been raised by a single mother, and they were very poor. And he was born out of wedlock. Back in the day, that was a big deal. And so he and his mother were shunned by the people in this good little town of Tennessee. Parents wouldn't let their kids play with him. Some of them would cross the street when they saw him and his mom passing by. He said when in grade school, he just had fights day in and day out with the boys at the school who would call him and his mom all kinds of names. And Ben Hooper told Fred Craddock, he said, "But I did go to church sometimes." It's like there's a little church there in our town. And he said, "I'd make it a point to sneak in after the service had already started. And I would try to slip out just before the benediction so I wouldn't have to face any of the church people. I wanted to encounter Jesus, but I didn't want the disapproval of those people." And he said, "But one day, a new pastor came to the church and he didn't know the order of how things were gonna go. And this new pastor took the boy by surprise when he walked to the back of the sanctuary before the benediction. And he said he was eager to get to meet everyone on the way out. And so the little boy had missed his chance to escape. When he came up to this new pastor, the first question he asked him was, "Who are you? Tell me, which of these is your dad?" Just not knowing any better. And the boy looked down and his face turned red. And the preacher could tell in that moment that he had asked the wrong question. And so Ben Hooper told Fred Craddock, he said, "That pastor reached out and took me by the chin and held my face up. And he looked me straight in the eye. And he said, 'Oh, you don't need to tell me. I already know who you belong to. I can see the family resemblance. I see it in your face. You are a child of God. Hold up your head, young man.'" And this man told Fred Craddock that something deep inside of his wounded soul was healed in that moment on that day. There's this wound that found some salt, and he was never the same. My friends, we are walking around in a world with so many open wounds. All y'all, the salt of the earth, there's healing in our hands because there is Jesus in our hearts. Stay salty. Besides healing, salt preserves life. It prevents bacteria from getting in and rotting good things. It keeps things fresh. So if that's true, then Jesus' people, who are all their salt of the earth, are a people who deeply value life and life in all of its forms. There are people who stand between life and anything that's trying to take that life away. And so Jesus' people are pro-life kind of people. And they are pro-life in the most inclusive terms possible. Rachel Held Evans said it this way. She said, "I believe the sacred personhood of an individual begins before birth and continues throughout life. And I believe that sacred personhood is worth protecting, whether it's tucked inside a womb or waiting on death row, or fleeing Syria in search of a home, or playing beneath the shadow of a war-making drone. The salt of the earth is the people who see the value of every living thing as something breathed into, formed together by the very fingerprints, the very breath of our living God. And so they are a people who are refusing to stand by while life is being destroyed. Salt preserves. It keeps away the bacteria that spoils and ruins. Where do we see death creeping in on those lives that are around us? The addicts, the immigrants who are hiding in fear, the poor pregnant woman who isn't sure she can afford to bring up another child in this world, the child who is begging to be seen, the prisoner who hasn't had a visitor in 5 years, the senior adult who sits alone day after day. The salt of the earth. All y'all, Jesus' people, sneak in and preserve life in the name of Jesus. Most notably, salt flavors. Lots of things can be made without salt. But as I learned with my grandpa's pancakes, they just might not be very good. Salt gives food a kick. It gives things what they need for us to actually be able to enjoy them. Jesus says to his people, "You are the flavor of the earth. You add a kick to things around here. You make it a more enjoyable place to live." That's who we are. At least that's who we are called to be. The thing is, Christians tend to kind of have this bad rap, don't we? For being the party poopers, for being the hall monitors, for being the sticklers. You know how Google has that predictive text, right? Where you can start to type in a question and it keeps trying to guess what you're gonna ask before you ask it, keeps trying to finish your sentence for you. I bet if we went to Google and we asked Google, "Why do Christians have so much or so many, Google would assume that we were about to ask all sorts of things. Why do Christians have so much judgment? I bet that's in the top list. Why do Christians have so many rules? Why do Christians have so many arguments, so many denominations? Why do Christians have so many potlucks? The actual question that definitely came up said, why do Christians have so many kids? But I bet you that it would never predict that our question was about to be, why do Christians have so much fun? But what if it did? What if our world knew Christians as the people who are adding all kinds of flavor to this world? The people who are making life this side of heaven more enjoyable for everyone. What if Christians, what if we, what if all y'all, what if we were known as the ones who threw the biggest parties and wore the best costumes and the ones who went out into the world doing all kinds of silly shenanigans just to make people laugh? What if we told the best jokes? And what if we pulled off the best dance moves? And what if we pulled together the most delicious feast and set the longest tables and threw out the best candy and parades? No Tootsie Rolls and Dum Dums. We're gonna throw out the good stuff. Yeah. What if we delighted in the gifts of this life more than anyone else because we know the giver of life? Hey, Google, why do Christians enjoy life so much? What if that's what everyone was asking? I tell you, every single church in this town would be packed to overflowing because people flock to joy and people flock to delight. That the world would see us and declare, by gosh, they are having fun. They've tapped into some source of absolute joy that I have got to know about. You're the salt of the earth. We have permission to spice it up around here. I dare you to dance. I dare you to snort when you laugh. It's the good stuff, right? Thank you. I dare you not to take yourself so seriously. Wear funny t-shirts, paint your fingernails purple. I don't know, I don't care, but whatever makes you smile more. Jesus, people are salty. They are full of flavor. This world's supposed to be more enjoyable because we are here. What a fun calling that is. Let's get to it. Y'all. The salt of the earth. And you're the light of the world. Light shines. Light shows us where to go, reveals what needs to be seen. In the dark, some things that are not scary at all can look really scary. And some things that are scary enough to kill us can be hidden. But in the light, we see what's what. And there is comfort in knowing what we're actually dealing with. There's comfort in knowing where to step. There is strength in knowing what is true. Jesus, people, in this day we're living in of just massive misinformation, Jesus, people, have the spirit of truth within them. And thus, they've got the tools to discern what's right and what's wrong and who's speaking on behalf of Jesus and who's not sounding like Jesus at all. There's strength, there's comfort in knowing what is true and knowing the way to go. You are the light. Stay close to the Jesus light. And so that you might be the light, the world needs you to walk in truth so they can find some truth too. In my days when I was a chaplain at a university and did some training for a chaplain, one of the very first things they taught us was when you walk into a room of someone who is struggling in this deep, deep place of depression, they said the first thing you need to do is ask them for permission to go and open the blinds. just let some light in. They said, just that simple act begins to change the narrative. Just let some light in. When someone is struggling with the darkness, they said, if they will let you, encourage them to step outside and take a walk with you. They said, get them into the sunlight. They need the vitamin D, they need the exercise, and they need the companionship. Darkness is trying to creep into the lives of our neighbors. You know this. It's telling our friends to close the shades and to hide out because it's too scary out there. It's too hard out there. So just cave in and hide in this place. Jesus, people, all y'all, knock on the door. Open the blinds and say, you want to go for a walk? Shine some light. Just flicker some hope in the darkness. All y'all, salt of the earth, light of the world. What do we do with these callings? What do we do to be salt, to be light? Two things. One, don't ignore it. Don't act like we just didn't know that Jesus called us salt and light. Don't act like we don't know that Jesus has put us here now in this pocket of the world to make it a better place. We don't get complacent. We don't get lazy. We don't get indifferent about it. It says, don't lose your saltiness, Jesus says, and don't hide your light. This is who you are. Embrace it. Don't forget about it. Don't ignore it. But also, don't go trying to overdo it. Don't think you have to go out and throw big old buckets of salt at people and beam a big old spotlight out your window for it to count. Here's the thing about salt and about light. For both of them, a little bit goes a long way, right? Every single teenager and child in this room can tell you about when things are salty. Thanks to one Wednesday night in our gatherings, Andy Withers was in charge of mashed potatoes. And in making the recipe, he just got distracted. And where it said 34 tablespoons of butter, he was making a bunch, he put in 34 tablespoons of salt. Every single person in line would take a bite, and then when Andy didn't even show up that night, he made Pam bring his potatoes for him. And then when Pam wasn't looking, they would throw the plate in the trash. Like, that is completely inedible. A little bit goes a long way with this salt stuff. The same with light. Whenever Guy and I, the day after our wedding, my friend Elizabeth got us this beautiful little place on the Hood Canal, and it was a sunny day in June, and I tell you, I enjoyed the sun that whole day long, all day long. The next day, we went to Mount St. Helens to hike, and throughout the day, my lips were getting bigger and bigger and bigger. The day after my wedding, 2 days after, there were blisters forming on my lips. My skin was turning all shades of red and brown. A little bit of light is all you need. Too much salt is inedible. The Dead Sea, if you've been there, the saltiest body of water on earth, nothing can live in it. Too much light can burn you, can blind you. We hear Jesus's call for us to be salt and to be light, and there's something inside of us that has told us that this has to be something big, that we have to go out and do some really big moves. We have to move to a hut in Africa, or we have to have a really big platform, or we have to carry really big banners, or we just have to do really big things to be the salt and light that Jesus says we are. But the thing is, that is not how salt and light work. Just a little dash here and a little dash there. That's how salt seasons. And just a beam of light here and just a flicker of light there. That's all you need to shine in a dark room. You see, Jesus has this thing. He is all about his people giving their lives to doing small things with great love. It is how the kingdom of Jesus always comes. Doing small things with great love. You don't have to move to a hut in Africa. You don't have to carry a 200-pound cross on your back across the state of Washington to be salt and light. Just love your Jesus. Let him live in you. Then every day, look for those chances to do little things with big love in his name. A dash of flavor here, a flicker of light there. That's his kingdom come. You see, Jesus compares his kingdom more to a mustard seed than to the great cedars of Lebanon. He compares his kingdom more to a widow's mite than to a bag of gold. He compares his kingdom more to a child than to a king. It's the small things done with great love for Jesus and for others. The daily small things done by all y'all that changes the world. Turns out that we are how God shows up in this world. And there is a lot riding on what we do with this calling to be salt and light. So don't ignore it, but don't overthink it. It's just a bunch of small things with great love. That's salt, that's light, that's the Jesus way. I tell you, I look at you guys, all y'all, and I can't help but smile. Because just look around, look at you, look at you. You guys are so much fun. Y'all are so much fun. Amen. Yeah, amen. Frank right here. Frank has a joke for me every single Sunday. Ask him for his one today. It's a good one. Oh, it's fun. When Tony plays those drums, there's not a one of us from tapping. And I have no rhythm and I can't help it. Danielle throws glitter all over the place. Yeah. She gets it from her mom, Kayleen, who has a full-blown tie-dye outfit from head to toe. She wears it to church sometimes. Mick can sing a song about anybody in this room on the spot, and they are good. Miss Pat gives the best hugs. Yeah. We're going to be here all day if we clap for everybody. But Jeremy's one of the funniest people that I know. He's got these one-liners all the time. You'll miss him if you're not listening. Amber always has some kind of animal coming out of her car. You never know what you're going to get. My little friend Dahlia draws the very best pictures of my family. Silas dances to the music. Y'all are so much fun. Almost every single Sunday, I go home laughing about something that some of you said or did or wore. And it is the best. Throwing out a dash of salt here and a dash of salt there, everywhere. All y'all, the salt of the earth. Just by being the wild Jesus lovers that you are. Don't overthink it, but don't ignore it. I look at you guys. And I can't help but squint because light shines from you. Every single person that stands on this stage sings to our Lord with all of their hearts, not to impress us, but for the audience of one, and that is Jesus. My friend Wendy quietly shows up at the home of every person in this church who has lost a loved one. With a meal in her hands and compassion in her heart. Diane goes from this place every single Sunday and makes the trek down to Gig Harbor to go and spend the rest of the day with her mom. The young parents in this church, you should see the ways that they are caring for one another and for each other's kiddos. And all of y'all who are flooding into small groups throughout the week, you are busy people, but you are hungry to dig into the word of truth and to do it together. And I hear you, you're telling your friends who are struggling, even when it's awkward for you, you're saying, hey, if you want to come to church, I'll pick you up. Look around, you guys. Look around. Do you see it? Do you see it? There are beams of light shining all over this place from all y'all. In the small ways that you reflect God's goodness to me and to us. You're salt, all y'all. You're light, all y'all. Love Jesus big. Then do those daily little things that make this world a better place. That is the kingdom come right here. Through who? All y'all. Say it with me, all y'all. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you invite us to be the very ones who could participate in your kingdom coming and actually make this world a better place. Thank you that you don't ask us to jump off of cliffs and do crazy, crazy things that scare us to death, to be salt and light. You just ask us to love you big and to look for small chances every day to throw out your goodness, a dash of love there, a word of peace there, an extension of friendship and love everywhere. Would you let us be salt and light this week? Would you bless our efforts to love you big and walk in your ways? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.